I thought it would be fun to give people some background on the Austin. Well, there's two things. There's the Austin Music Poll, and then it manifests in the Austin Music Awards. You took over the poll in what year?
I took it over in 92.
But you were involved with the awards since 84?
Well, since the very first one in 83 that Bob Simmons directed. And then the next year I took over that. And I took a three-year hiatus over in Hawaii in the late 80s and into 91. And my second-in-command, E.A. Sreary, stepped up and directed the show. And then when I got back to Austin in 91, just in time for the 92 show, she went to law school. So I took back over. And that was the time when they said, oh, by the way, you're doing the poll, too. And I was like, Jeff Whittington always did the poll. Why give me the poll? Because it's part and parcel of the process now. So that's how I inherited the poll.
You mentioned Jeff Whittington, who's one of your co-writers, was one of your co-writers at the Austin Chronicle. Was it his idea for the original poll?
Absolutely. Jeff was a poll head. I mean, he was doing polls back when he was doing the Radio On column for the Daily Texan. And, you know, in my mind, he was the first person who really jumped up in the press and started waving the flag of punk and saying, you know, hey, you know, the British are coming. There's something that's really happening out there. And you know, his column in the Texan, I never missed it because it was, for my money, the most exciting, the most interesting gossip column around. And so I followed his lead.
This is your last year as director of the Austin Music Awards and the poll, isn't it?
Yes. It's very sobering.
That's heavy. Now, I know you've had some health issues to deal with, but also what I've read in quotes from you in the press is that you feel like it's time to hand this over.
I've been making a joke for a couple of years now. I should have stepped down after Bruce Springsteen. And in a sense, you know, that's kind of true. I mean, I think that will probably always remain as like, you know, what was the greatest show you ever did? You know, well, it's hard to beat the boss coming in and standing up with all of our locals, because that was the affirmation that what we did was right. You know, that we were on it when somebody like that came in and connects with somebody local and stands up in front of our local audience like that. So, but it is really time for it. I mean, there's a whole different music scene out there now. I've kind of aged out of what I feel like is my, you know, use by date. And I really believe that the show needs, you know, it needs kind of a facelift. It needs somebody else to come in and rethink what it is that we do and how we present it. So I'm very curious to see how that will happen.
You mentioned Bruce Springsteen. I think it was 2012 that he was at the Austin Music Awards. He showed up. He was a special guest. Some of the other special guests over the years, 2007, I know the date well, Pete Townsend was at the Austin Music Awards. The likes of Lyle Lovett and Kris Kristofferson are mentioned in the current press release, but I'm trying to think in my mind, and of course it's a blur because it is a party and we have a good time, but I remember one time coming upon three quarters of Talking Heads standing in line waiting to present an award. Just if you can remember a few things off the top of your head that are highlights beyond the ones that we mentioned. I don't know if you can, because, again, for me, it's a blur.
Well, that the Talking Heads particularly was a very good one because we had invited them to be guest presenters. But what I remember is coming around the corner of the stage after they'd done their presentation, and they were standing there on the side of the stage with Britt Daniel from Spoon, and all four of them were transfixed by Mother Falcon on stage. And that's one of those moments you just don't forget. You know, I think this band is wonderful. That's why I put them on stage. When people like that, they have their attention, I know I've done the right thing with it.
Any other highlights that come to your mind from these 30 plus years of Austin Music Awards?
There was the year that Kris Kristofferson showed up. Somebody said to me, you know, are you going to write the speech for him to give? And so I thought, oh, well, I better do this. So I wrote out this these words for him to say, because he was presenting Sleep at the Wheel with their award. And I saw it being handed to him, and he looked at it and he folded it up and put it in his pocket. And so I thought, oh, okay. Well, about 30 minutes later, when he gets up on stage, I see him just walk out on stage, and he's so charismatic, unbelievably charismatic. And he just stood in front of the microphone, and without even looking at the paper, he spoke every word that I had written. And to hear my words coming out of Kris Kristofferson's mouth made my heart beat like crazy, and it was one of my favorite moments ever remember.
Tell me about the time early in the 80s when Jimmy Vaughn and Stevie Vaughn played together, because at that point they hadn't been doing that very much.
the year that this was the first year that I directed the Music Awards, and we had the Thunderbirds as the headline bill, and Chesley Milliken, who was Stevie's manager, flew him and the band in from the CBS convention over in Hawaii the day of show, unannounced. And so after the Thunderbirds played, Stevie came out and he played the entire Couldn't Stand the Weather record, which nobody had heard before then. And then he and Jimmy got up and did their double guitarist thing. And I had always heard about this, but in all my years, even at that time, of seeing Stevie and Jimmy separately and together, I had never seen them get up on stage and do that brothers act. And although, you know, they were doing it for the show, there was very definitely some rivalry going on stage that night. They were trying to outdo each other.
We're talking with Margaret Moser, journalist and also Austin Music Awards director. Take off your awards show hat for a moment and put on your music poll hat, if you will. What do you think the result is of winning the poll? Can it be either a jackpot for the artist or just something to put on their resume, one or the other? Somewhere in between?
You know, I can say whatever I think it means, but one of the most interesting comments about that came from White Ghost Shivers a few years ago, who had sent out a campaign that they were asking for their fans to vote for them. And they said, what does winning an Austin Music Award do for you? And they listed out a few things that they felt really helped. And they are a band who has won before on more than one occasion. And so I felt like they really, you know, I was like, wow, thanks. You know, I can say all I want, but here's the band actually saying, you know, well, it gave us a higher profile. And it allowed us to say to people who were interested in booking us, you know, we've won this, which means that we had the attention of enough people to be rewarded for it. And they named off a couple other things. But as I say, you know, the fact that the bands find value in it, too, is what gives me more satisfaction.
Well, congratulations on, let's say, the first phase of an amazing career. And I know you'll be involved in any way you can, because knowing you, I know that you're about the music, and that is number one, two, and three for you, and everything else comes afterwards. And the Austin Music Awards director this year, as she has been for so many years, Margaret Moser, has been our guest. Thanks, Margaret.
Thank you.